All right. I tell you what, boys. I've got two you guys can share. And we're going to be on point three. Actually, let's see. I don't know, Nathan, if I have another one. Tell you what, actually, Thomas, could you give Nathan one and you guys share one? The three of you can share one. And let's open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 14 for the reading. So Mark chapter 14, starting at verse number 32, and we'll read down to verse 42. So Mark chapter 14, starting at verse number 32, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about this account in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus has spent some time praying before he will be crucified. Before this, he was in the upper room there in the city celebrating the Passover with the disciples, celebrating how God had delivered the nation of Israel out of bondage, how God had built a great nation, going all the way back to Abraham, because Abraham was willing to follow God wherever God led him. Abraham was willing to be a friend of God, and God was a friend to Abraham. Now you come, they are celebrating the Passover, what God has done, and they find themselves in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is a place where Jesus often went to, because remember, Judas had left the upper room before Jesus and the other disciples had parted. Judas had left. Jesus said, you know, what thou do, do quickly, and Judas leaves to obviously go betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus spends some more time with the 11 disciples. And when they leave the upper room, they stop by the temple. In John chapter 17, Jesus spends some time praying there at the temple, praying for those disciples, praying for those that will believe on him after the crucifixion. And then they find themselves in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus leaves some disciples as soon as they get into the Garden of Gethsemane, but takes Peter, James, and John a little further, and he leaves them, and then he goes a stone's cast away from them and spends some time in prayer, and he comes back and he finds the three sleeping. He comes back twice and he tells them, you know, to watch and pray, to watch and pray, because the hour of temptation was coming. And he directly addresses Peter because he had already told Peter that the devil desires to sift him like wheat. And we have to be reminded that every one of us, the devil desires to sift us singly as wheat. He wants to destroy us. He wants to strip away our faith, strip away our confidence in the Lord. He wants us to be relaxed in our Christian walk and not really be watchful. And that's why Jesus commands Peter. He addresses Peter because he's the one that he told Peter, before this night is over, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter was very adamant. I will not, though all men deny you, I will not. And the Lord tried encouraging him not to stand in his strength, but to rely upon the Lord. And yet Peter here with James and John, they're sleeping. And again, like we even talked about, we would have the excuse, well, it's late at night, our bellies are full, we've had the Passover celebration, we've spent some time fellowshipping, it's time to go to sleep. But when God says, watch and pray, that's a warning. And again, I don't know if the teenagers have experienced it yet, but I'm sure most of the adults in here have experienced those moments at night when God wakes you up because he wants to talk to you, or you can't even find yourself falling asleep. You're tired, but you're just wide awake and you just can't fall asleep. And the human tendency is to flip on the TV or to read some book or turn on music, do something that we enjoy. But yet God wants to spend time talking with us, so we need to take those opportunities to say, as Samuel says, a young boy, thy servant heareth, Lord, speak. Because God always wants us to learn something, and these three disciples could have learned some great lessons on this night in the Garden of Gethsemane that would have helped them going forward into the next day and the days following. But we find the disciples are sleeping because the flesh is always weak. The flesh never wants to do what's right, but the spirit that is within us always wants to follow God's will and always wants to do what is right. So never give in to the flesh. You know what? You think about it. Even when we find ourselves praying, at times we'll find our thoughts, our minds wandering away from the prayer. As we start to pray and we start thinking about other things, or even finding ourselves reading the Bible and dozing off in the middle of reading the Bible. Not because we're tired, because it doesn't matter what time of day that you and I sit down and read our Bible, our flesh resists it. And the best way the flesh resists it is to try to shut the eyes so that we don't see the Word of God, so the Word of God does not affect our hearts and draw us closer to the Lord. But in this account with Peter, James, and John, Jesus has come to them twice. He has warned them to watch and pray, and we need to watch and pray. But yet, I want you to notice something in verse 37. In verse 37, he, Jesus, cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. Each time Jesus came to these disciples and addressed them and spoke to them, they never said a word back. They were so sleepy and so tired and so disoriented, so out of it, that they might have heard what Jesus was saying, but couldn't even respond to what he was saying. Again, have you ever been that sleepy that maybe your spouse or somebody was trying to talk to you, and you just didn't answer where you could hear them, but you were just so tired you couldn't even say a word to them? And that's the way we are sometimes to God. When he speaks to us, we don't respond to his words. Now, having requested his three trusted disciples to watch him, Jesus came back to check on them twice. Both times he found them asleep. Both Matthew and Mark state in their accounts of the gospel that Jesus singled out Peter for reproach, because he already warned him the devil was after him. He already warned him, the devil wants to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And Jesus reproaches Peter and says, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? For once, Peter had nothing to say. Again, if you were to read the gospel, even going back from this account, Peter always had something to say. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. He was always speaking before he was thinking. He was always had something to say. But on this night, in this moment, he had nothing to say. Now, you think about just the heaviness that was really strong upon them. When you look at, and let me get there so you can put these notes down, but you think about the fact the disciples were silenced. They had nothing to say. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes that's a good thing because a fool utters all their mind. We need to be quick to listen. But when God warns us, when God asks a question, we do need to be quick to give an answer to the Lord, an answer to what he has spoken to us about. There's times to be silent and there's times to speak. But they were being silent because their flesh was heavy with sleep. The heaviness was too strong for them. You know what it's like. I know what it's like. Having two alarms set for in the morning time when I have to go, when I have to get up at 1 a.m. to go to FedEx. And there's been many times where I have two alarms set and I always hit the snooze on the first alarm. And there's been times where I never heard the second alarm and I wake up an hour later and I end up being late to work because the flesh is so tired. The flesh is not willing to get up. We always have to make ourselves do what's right. But their eyes were heavy. But Matthew and Mark both tell us, with the disciples oblivious to his presence, they didn't even realize Jesus is speaking to them. Jesus finally just let them sleep. What did they miss? The question is, what did they miss by not watching with Jesus for that 1 hour? What did they miss? Think about Mount Transfiguration. What did Peter, James, and John see on the Mount of Transfiguration? Boys, what did he see? What did Jesus see on the Mount? What did Peter see on the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember Moses and Elijah appeared? And then Peter spoke, and what did Peter say? He said something because of what he saw. Say it again, Miss Christine. Yeah, he wanted to make tabernacles for each one because of the glory that he saw. He saw Jesus, he saw Elijah, he saw Moses. What were they doing before they saw, before Peter saw Moses and Elijah there and spoke? What was Peter doing before he woke up? Crystal, what was he doing before he woke up? Sleeping. Is that a trick question? It sounds like a trick question. What was he doing before he woke up? He was sleeping, right? But he woke up and saw Jesus in all his glory and saw Elijah and Moses, and he spoke, and Lord, it's good for us to be here. It was good for them to be there because they saw Jesus transfigured in all his glory. But yet, here they are sleeping again, and they totally miss. They didn't miss seeing Jesus in all his glory. They didn't miss hearing the voice of God and seeing the cloud descend upon that mountain and surround them, engulf them, and hear God's voice say, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, they're missing out on some stuff. The flesh is so strong this night that they're missing out. And listen, the flesh is sinful. They didn't miss out on the feeding of the 5,000. They didn't miss out on the feeding of the 4,000. They didn't miss out on seeing Jesus calm the storms on the Sea of Galilee twice. They didn't miss out on seeing the demoniac of Gadara being delivered from the 2,000 plus demons that were in his life. They didn't miss out on hearing Jesus say, "Lazarus, come forth," and seeing Lazarus, who was dead and had been dead for 4 days, come walking out of the tomb. They didn't miss that. They didn't miss seeing Jesus stop by a funeral procession as a mother was laying her son to rest, and her only son. She had no husband. She was a widow. And Jesus stopping the funeral procession, telling her, "Weep not," and telling a young man, "Arise." And her son sits up from being dead. They didn't miss the miracles. They didn't miss any of the miracles Jesus had done. But on this night, the flesh is so strong that they miss seeing some things that would help them. They miss seeing that, you know what? Jesus allowed himself to suffer sorrow beyond comprehension. You know what it's like to be under pressure, to be under sorrow, whether it's studying for a test for the young boys, whether it's us adults having finances mounted up or waiting for a decision to come, waiting for, you know, something to happen or praying over somebody or some situation. We know what it means to be stressed and to be overwhelmed, but nothing like Jesus. Jesus was so overwhelmed with what he was going to face. He says that in verse 34, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Even unto death. They missed out on seeing Jesus praying for the will of the Father, admitting that, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But yet not my will, thy will be done." They missed out on learning the lesson it's always best to give in to the will of the Father, even when the flesh doesn't want to. Even when our soul is so overwhelmed, it's best to give in to our Heavenly Father. Now again, what did they miss by not watching with Jesus for that 1 hour? Certainly they missed seeing a marvelous session of prayer. Remember, they had even asked Jesus early on, "Teach us to pray." Because they had seen him praying, and his prayer life was different from the Pharisees, different from the scribes. They're like, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to have that relationship with the Heavenly Father." And they missed out on seeing a great session of prayer. The Son of God pouring out his very heart to the Father. They missed out overhearing his example of total surrender when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." They missed an opportunity to later discuss amongst themselves the things the Lord had been teaching them. They missed an opportunity to revel in the privilege they had to be close to the Lord during this monumental time. One unavoidable aspect of missed opportunities is that we may not even realize what opportunities have been missed. Kind of touched on this a little bit in the men's Bible study yesterday. We never know how good we have it until we don't have it. We never know what we missed out on until we miss out on it. Because sometimes we refuse to do what God wants us to do, and then later we realize, "Wow, you know what? If I would have done what God told me to do, then I would have had some blessings. I would have experienced some goodness of God." These men were missing out on some great opportunities during this hour, but they allowed themselves to give in to themselves and what their flesh desired, which was sleep. Sometimes we do, as God's people, need to just miss out on some sleep to spend some time with God. Because you know what it's like. Have you ever been awoken suddenly? I mean, you're in a deep sleep, and all of a sudden you wake up suddenly because of a noise or, oh no, I'm late for work. And you find yourself just quickly trying to, you know, get ready or quickly trying to figure out what's going on. You're disoriented. You're not thinking straight. That happened to me. Well, it's happened to me several times. But just waking up and just being out of it and putting on my clothes and going out the door and thinking I turned off the alarm and shutting the door and leaving and then getting a phone call, hey, your alarm's going off or sending the police. I'm thinking, no, I turned it off. Or one time I woke up and thought, oh man, I feel good. I had some good sleep and man, I still got 2 hours before work. But I didn't realize I had 2 hours before work until after I made breakfast, sat down, read my devotion, prayed, ate my breakfast, thinking, man, why is it still dark outside? And the clock on the stove was wrong. I looked at my phone. I got 2 hours left. Sometimes that's good, but what about the times where, you know, again, you wake up and you're totally disoriented? These three are about to be a jarred awake with Judas and the mob coming. And what's Peter's first reaction when they show up? He draws a sword and whacks off Malchus's ear because he doesn't know what's going on. They're totally disoriented. And then in the same moment, they all flee and leave Jesus by himself. Peter runs away, James runs away, John runs away, because they were not prepared for what was about to happen. The lessons that we learn are very important, and the most important lesson is to always be ready for what is about to happen in your life, even when you don't know what it is. And the only way to be prepared for what is about to happen in your life, even when you don't know what it is to stay sensitive to the voice and leading of God. Stay close to the Lord. Again, we miss opportunities. There are things that God wants to speak to our hearts about. There's things that God wants to do. And we have to give in to His will instead of our fleshly desires. Christ has great blessings available to us through the privilege of prayer. And we must be on guard that we do not allow our weariness to keep us from what we need so desperately. The very thing that we, or that will give us strength, is having communion with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We miss out many times on those opportunities. Because you know what it's like to feel heavy, heavy-hearted, heavy-laden, burdened, and go to the Lord and spend some time telling God about how you feel, what you're facing, and you feel better about it because you know you're talking to someone who can do something about it. That's the way Hannah was. Hannah went and just poured out her burden to the Lord and walked away feeling great because she cast her care upon the Lord. What if Hannah had never prayed? She'd already prayed many times for children. But what if at that moment, while she's in Jerusalem at the feast, and she's so burdened, what if she'd say, you know what, I've prayed about this so many times. God hasn't answered me. God hasn't given me children. I'm done praying. I'm not going to pray about it no more. Guess what? She would have missed out on having Samuel. Do you understand how many blessings we miss out on because we stop praying or we don't pray because we think prayer doesn't work or God's not listening? God's always testing our faith and always testing our trust in Him by many times being silent to see if we will continue seeking Him. See if we will continue to trust Him even when we don't see an answer coming in our time. Now, when Satan tempts us to be silent, we must remember that God wants us to commune with Him. Now, think about this. If Jesus and the devil were to walk in this morning, literally, physically, show up, and they came up here, and Jesus says, pick your side. We do that with games with kids, right? You know, you pick your side, whose side you want to be on. Literally, I mean, we don't ever think about this. Why? Why don't we think about this? Because it won't ever happen. We don't think about things that will never happen. But every day, Jesus is saying, pick your side. If Jesus says, you know, he's over here, and Jesus says, okay, who's going to follow me? Every one of us would jump up and run to his side, right? But we don't really do that in our life. We don't really jump up and run to the side of Jesus in everything we do. And the devil's okay. The devil doesn't care if we jump to his side physically or not. Because we can be standing on the side of Jesus, because that's where Peter was. I'll never deny thee. Though all other men deny, I won't. And what did he end up doing? He ended up actually being on the devil's side and denying Jesus Christ. That's why God wants us to watch and pray. Because we don't even realize what we would do in a certain situation. We can always look at someone else's mistake and say, well, I would never do that. But there are things that we would do that would be contrary to following Jesus. And we miss out on the blessings that he has for us. Now, when Satan tempts us to be silent, we must remember that God wants us to commune with him, talk with him. And David was a man after God's own heart, and one of his favorite pursuits was prayer. And David says in Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now let's be honest. You don't be honest to me, but be honest with yourself and between God. Do we really pray every day? And all of us would be like, yes. But do we pray like the psalm says, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening? Well, yeah, because yesterday at noon I had car problems and I needed God to help. Okay, well, yeah. Well, what if you have no problems? Well, if it's a good day, everything's going right, you're like, man, this is a good day. Do we spend time thanking God? Do we spend time praying? Because that is what's going to help us. And again, Jesus prayed every day. Every day these disciples watched Jesus pray. They watched his interaction with people. They watched his interaction with the Heavenly Father. Because at the tomb where Lazarus was laid at rest, his body was laid at rest because he had died of his sickness, the disciples are there and Jesus looks up and says, God, I thank thee that thou hearest me. And I say this for the sake of the people, that they see my communion with you. They see my interaction with the Heavenly Father. And it is the number one thing that the devil does not want us to do. Because we feel better when we do spend quality time in prayer with God. When our focus truly is on the Lord, we find ourselves getting that inner strength that we need. Do we often find our heaviness strong when it comes to fellowshipping with and serving God? Do we need strength to do what God has called us to do? We can come to the Lord and get all the strength that we need. Look in your notes at Isaiah of chapter 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But you know, the hour had come. The hour was come. Jesus had warned them several times to watch and pray. They just could not do it. And finally, in the verse, he tells them, verse 41, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. The time had come for Jesus to allow himself to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And it's an amazing thing that it's not Judas was so sly and so, you know, so wise that he was able to con Jesus into being betrayed. And you know what? Jesus didn't know the mob was coming. And Judas is showing up with the mob and the soldiers. And Judas knew where Jesus was because Jesus always resorted to the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, he told one person that said, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." He says, "The birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head." Jesus did not have his own home to live in. And the Bible records that often he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. So Judas knew where he would be. But Jesus knew what Judas was doing. He knew the mob was coming. Peter, James, and John didn't know. The other disciples that were there, they didn't know. But Jesus did. And he tells them to sleep on. The time had come for Jesus to allow himself to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. For the disciples, everything that they had known was about to be destroyed. Although the prophets had foretold the events that were about to unfold, and Jesus was prepared to go all the way to the end, Peter, James, and John must have looked back and wished that they had watched and prayed when Jesus asked them to. Many times in life, we have regrets. Regrets of not doing what we should have done when we had the opportunity to do it. As a child of God, as a believer in Christ, we should never miss the opportunities that God gives us to spend time with him. But unfortunately, we will. Unfortunately, we'll give in to our flesh. Unfortunately, we'll have those moments that we regret. And those are moments that we can learn from. Those are moments we can learn from. Peter is going to learn a hard lesson because of that hour. Because he did not watch and pray. He did not spend time in prayer for himself, thinking about what Jesus told him. Because often when we read our Bible, God does speak to us through his word, and God gives us warning through his word. And if we don't take heed to what God shows us each day in his word, we'll find ourselves wishing we would have listened. I mean, there's many examples in my own life where I wish I would have listened to the counsel I was being given so I would not have experienced the hardship that I experienced because I didn't listen to what I was being told. And again, there's not a single person in here who doesn't make mistakes and doesn't listen to wise counsel. It starts when we're just little. And you tell a child, "Don't do that because you'll get hurt." And for some reason, when you tell a child, "Don't do that," it's like they hear, "Go ahead and do it." And I remember touching the hot stove when after my mom told me not to and burning my hand. I remember, you know, just getting hurt time and time again because I'd be told, "Don't do that, you're going to get hurt." And the same with my kids. I find with all my kids, you know, don't do this. And they end up doing it and getting hurt. And I always say I love them getting hurt, but I love when I'm able to try to show them the reason why they should have listened. And I remind them, you know, every time you don't listen and obey, you always get hurt. And they've all have recognized that. And that's the truth. We need to listen to the voice of God so that we don't have hurt in our life that's not necessary. Peter ends up going and weeping bitterly because he denies the Lord three times instead of seeking the Lord for help. Now, in Luke's account of this gospel, he finishes it by recording Jesus saying, "Why sleep ye? rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. What was true for the disciples obviously is equally true for us today. With temptation rampant in the world today, one of our greatest needs is our need to rise and pray. In John 9:4, there in your notes, I must work the works of him that sent me, Jesus said, while it is day. And that simply means while I have the opportunity. Because he goes on to say, the night cometh when no man can work. Some would look at that, oh, okay, so during the daytime I need to do what God wants, at nighttime I can't. No, the day, it suggests the fact we have opportunity. We can see and we can respond to what God wants us to do. But when the night comes, when the opportunity is gone, we can't ever go back and do what we should have done. Because what is today? What's today, Matthew? Sunday. I can't go back to Saturday and do anything I didn't do. And you know what? I can't go into Monday yet and do anything I need to do because I'm not there yet. Today is the day to do what God has called us to do and has shown us what to do. Today is the day to obey the leading of God's voice. Today is the day to surrender to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, as he guides us and leads us according to the Father's will, because today is the only day I can do what God wants me to do. I can't do yesterday, and I can't do tomorrow because I'm not there yet. But today is the day. And believe me, there's been many days where we've looked back and we regret something we didn't do, and we regret things that we did do yesterday that weren't according to God's will. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, there in our notes, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Time is no respecter of persons, and time is no respecter of age. Doesn't matter the age of the person. Time is no respecter. We all have opportunity to spend time in prayer with God throughout the day, and to listen and adhere to what God instructs us to do, so that we can do like Christ did and say, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, in closing, Jesus has called us into the ministry of prayer with him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Have you ever had someone say, hey, will you go with me? And you fill in the blank after that. Hey, you want to go fishing? Hey, you want to go do this? Hey, you want to go do that? We always like it when someone calls us and says, hey, you want to do this? Because it means, wow, somebody was thinking about me. Even if I can or can't, it's like, at least they were thinking about me, right? And when you do, you know, you end up having a good time because you're with somebody that actually wants to be with you and spend time with you. That's the way Jesus is. Every day Jesus comes to us and says, hey, follow me. You ever woken up in the morning? Your day is starting and you hear that voice? Come spend some time with me. Go open up your Bible. Let's talk. Oh, I can't right now, Lord. I mean, I'm running late. How about later? Tonight I'll talk with you. And we go all day without talking to God. And guess what? Come nighttime, we don't talk to him either because we're too busy. And yet the Lord's given us that great ministry of prayer because it's time for us to spend with him, and it's time for us to pray for others as well while we're spending time with him. While it won't always be easy to fulfill his command, and we may find ourselves battling fatigue, distractions, and Satan himself, we must realize that we can still choose to follow and obey. With Jesus' help, we can accomplish this task that is commanded of every believer. It's not a suggestion. It's a command for us to spend that time with the Lord. Was it a suggestion to Joshua from God when God said, in fact, look at, we got some time, look at Joshua chapter 1. I mean, God is giving Joshua a big task. He's given him some big responsibilities. He has to lead thousands, hundreds of thousands of Israelites into the promised land. And God has chosen Joshua to do that. God's chosen each of us to do something in our life. And God tells Joshua the only way he's going to make it, verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God says, for unto this people shalt thou. He says, Joshua, you're going to do it. You're going to be the one responsible for divvying up the land according to God's word, how to do it. But Joshua, you're going to be the one. You're the leader. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He says, don't turn from it. Don't turn away from the word of God. Don't discredit the word of God. God's word never changes. It never gets old. It's still accurate. It is still viable for today. It's still what we need today. I know the world wants to change definitions of words that are found in the Bible. You know, you find the word gay in the Bible. It wasn't talking about homosexuality. It was talking about being happy. I'm gay. You don't say that now, right? You're not going, I'm gay. People are like, right? Okay, so the world changes definitions, but the world cannot change the truth of God's word. Can't change the truth of God's word. Again, it's God's word that we are to rely upon. It is what helps us, and it is what God speaks to our hearts about. Now, with Jesus' help, we can accomplish the task that is commanded of every believer, to draw close to God and to pray without ceasing. The Bible says, resist the devil, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. And we are to resist. We're to resist the devil. And we can and will experience the richness of a wonderful relationship with God. Let's not miss out on the opportunities that God gives us to spend with him. Let's not miss out, because again, we never know what it is that God has for us. We never know what it is that he's going to speak to our hearts about, what answer he may give to us for prayer. You might be praying right now for something. You might have been praying for a long time. It only takes one time to not pray to miss out. Because I don't know, maybe this is the time God will give me what I need. God will bring to my mind what I need to do. Because again, God's always testing our faith. He's always testing our resolve and who and what we are truly seeking in prayer. Are we just seeking an answer? Because there were many that followed him. They were just seeking miracles. They were just seeking to be fed. But then there were those that were seeking him and sitting at his feet and listening intently to his words. And those that are listening intently are the ones that God will speak to in his timing. But let's not miss out on what God has for us. Father, we do thank you for your goodness this morning. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful gift of prayer, spending time with you. In fact, Lord, you do hear us. You hear our voice when we cry out to you. And Father, you do. You know what's burdening our heart. And Father, you're always drawing us unto you. Help us, Lord, not to resist spending that time with you, but to see the necessity, to see the fact that we desperately need that time with you. Father, I ask that you would continue to bless our time together this morning. Bless this next hour. Bring honor and glory to yourself. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we got about 10 minutes.